الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue reading in the brief treatise أسباب سعادة الأسرة, The Means for Family Happiness by the great scholar Sheikh Suleiman الرحيلي حفظه الله تعالى. We have come to about the end of the treatise and we continue reading from where we had left off. The Sheikh mentioned حفظه الله ومن أسباب سعادة الأسر أن يقوم التعاون بين أفراد الأسرة على الخير وأن يحرص الزوجان على ذلك وأن يربي الأبوان أبواءهما على ذلك. يقول الله عز وجل وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى. وإذا كان التعاون على الخير في البيت حصلت الراحة والسرور. So the Sheikh mentioned, حفظه الله, among the means of a family happiness among the means of family happiness is that cooperation should exist among family members in doing good, meaning that the members of the household, they should work together and cooperate with each other upon doing that which is good and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, and that both spouses are eager to foster this spirit, and to cultivate this in their home, that both spouses are eager to cultivate this in their homes, and that the parents raise their children upon that way. That their parents raise their children upon that way. And either parents themselves, they are cooperating upon that which is good. They are cooperating upon that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahead of that, establishing the commandments and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions and doing that which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside and outside of the home. Inside and outside of the home. And then from there they cultivate their children upon that way likewise. And their children cooperate with them upon piety and righteousness. And thus, likewise, the children, they should as well cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. He says in Allah the Almighty, he says in his book, وَتَعَابُنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, the meaning of which is, and cooperate you all together in righteousness and piety. So Allah, he has ordered the believers in his noble book that they should cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. And also he had forbade Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. Upon sin and transgression. And this is a tremendous verse and great guidance and benefit for the human being. So the Shaykh, he says, whenever there is cooperation upon goodness within the home, comfort and peace and joy prevail. And it will be a good home, a happy home, because the people that are working together upon that which is good, even in times of hardship or difficulty, or whenever there are disputes, if they are accustomed to working together upon piety and righteousness, they will be able to alleviate those problems or to solve them in a noble and good manner without things escalating without need and the likes like this. So the situation will be good, and the fruits of cooperating upon piety and righteousness are numerous, and the fruits of cooperating upon piety and righteousness are numerous and various and very beneficial. So the Shaykh, he says, تأملوا معي أمرا أرشد إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيه لذة من أعظم لذات الدنيا. He says, so reflect with me, ponder with me on a beautiful matter that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged, a practice that brings one of the greatest pleasures of this worldly life. A practice that brings about one of the greatest pleasures and the sweetest joys of this worldly life. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم رحم الله رجلا قام من الليل رحم الله رجلا قام من الليل فصلى وأيقظ امرأته فصلت فإن أبت نضح في وجهها الماء ورحم الله امرأة قامت من الليل فصلت وأيقظت زوجها فصلى فإن أبى نضحت في وجهه الماء نضحت في وجهه الماء. So again he says, reflect and ponder with me on a beautiful matter, on a beautiful matter that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged and directed the people to, and that a practice that brings one of the greatest pleasures and the sweetest delights and joys in this worldly life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, may Allah have mercy upon a man who gets up at night and prays, then awakens his wife, and she prays likewise. And if she refuses, and meaning if she's overcome by sleep and is not able to get up, he sprinkles water on her face, and meaning lightly, in a gentle manner. And may Allah have mercy upon a woman who gets up at night and prays, then awakens her husband. And if he refuses, meaning if the sleep is heavy and he's not able to get up, then she sprinkles water on his face. And meaning that they're cooperating together in this manner. And this is in reference to the night prayer, which is not an obligation, but it's a sign of sincere and true faith. Whenever the people are sleeping, a sincere, true believer, he will wake up in the middle of the night. He will purify himself and he will stand and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will stand in a night prayer. He will recite the book of Allah and he will ponder and he will benefit and he will make ruku' humbly and likewise sujood and beg and call on Allah Azza wa Jalla for his needs in this manner, which is voluntary and not even an obligation. But the point here now is that a righteous man, he does not suffice with himself and look out for his own personal interests. Rather, likewise, he wakes up his wife. Rather, likewise, he wakes up his wife. And if she finds difficulty waking up, he will encourage her in a gentle manner. Here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making an example of that, sprinkling water on the face. If you try to wake them up, maybe they're very sleepy. Maybe they're very tired, or the body or the head is heavy, or rather the pillow is holding him down, and the likes like this, or the blankets, they're heavy themselves. So it's difficult sometimes to get out of bed. If the spouse is facing that, then they will encourage them in a gentle manner. They will encourage them in a gentle manner, like this, sprinkling some water, in a nice way, or even a person, he can grab them by their toe and touch them by the toe, for example, to not scare them, or to alert them, to wake them up gently. And whenever you got their attention, you can mention, for example, this is just advice. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Ahl al-Qur'an, awtiru. Ya Ahl al-Qur'an, awtiru. Yani, O people of Qur'an, make the witr, pray the witr prayer. So you tell her, come on, let's get up. O people of Qur'an, pray the witr prayer. Barakallahu fiqh. And then you leave her like that. If she gets up, alhamdulillah. But you would not force her because it's not an obligation. But the point is that one, he would encourage. And likewise, the wife as well. If she wakes up and she is establishing this affair, she would also love that for her husband. She would work and cooperate with him upon that way. Upon that way, each one of them, they will get up and they will pray and recite and stand in that which is easy for them in the night prayer. And the night prayer. So this is a great example of cooperation upon piety and righteousness within the home between the spouses. A great example of cooperating upon piety and righteousness within the home between the spouses. So the Shaykh, he says, مَا أَجْمَلَ هَذَا تَعَاوُنَ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ يَكُمُ الرَّجُلُ فَيُصَلِّ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَحْرُمُ امْرَأَتُهُ مِنْ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ بَلْ يُقِضُهَا فَإِنْ أَبَتْ أَخَذَ مَاءً فَوَضَعَهُ فِي وَجْهِهَا مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ تَسْتَيْقِظَ والمرأة تقوم من الليل فتصلي وتوخذ زوجها فإن أبى أخذ ماء فنضحته في وجهه إنها أسرة قامت على التعاون على الخير فيفرح بهذا. What a beautiful form of cooperation upon goodness. The husband rises and prays at night time and doesn't deprive his wife of the reward. Rather, he awakens her. Rather, he awakens her as well. If she refuses, he will gently sprinkle water on her face to help her wake up. And the wife does the same. She rises and prays and awakens her husband. And if he refuses, she sprinkles water on his face. This is a family built upon cooperation and righteousness. And they rejoice in that. And they rejoice in that. So if this is the example of a righteous family, or a family striving upon piety and righteousness, that they cooperate in this manner, in these non-obligatory actions that are very virtuous, what would you think about the obligations? What would you think about the obligations? Of course, if the man, he's busy or preoccupied, the woman, she's going to remind him, it's time for the salat. You only have 15 minutes to get to the masjid. Barakallah fiqh. You should hurry up now and make the wudu so you can get there on time. So on and so forth. She'll remind him. She'll remind him to go to the masjid and to pray in the congregation for the better reward. She will remind him likewise that their provision comes from Allah, and you obtain that which you want from Allah by obeying him. And from the head of the actions of obedience for a man is establishing the congregational prayer in the masjid. So she would encourage him in a good manner like this. And likewise, he would encourage her as well upon the obligations. If she's forgetful about her covering or about any other of her rights that are upon her, likewise, he will remind her in a good manner that will be beneficial, that will be an admonition, so that they both can seek the pleasure of Allah together on the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. أما إذا لم تقم الأسرة على تعاون الخير قد يثور كما يثور البركان ولا تتحقق السعادة. But if the family is not based on helping one another and doing good, then anger flares up like a volcano and true happiness is never attained. And true happiness is never obtained. Any problems, they will arise in a life like this. So the believers in general and the family members and the household specifically, they must cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. And they must not cooperate together upon sin and transgression. And this is a great way, a great way. But if the people do not fear Allah Azza wa Jal, then they will fail in this. And they will not cooperate upon piety and righteousness. Rather, they will cooperate upon sin and transgression and the likes like this. And this is not a good way. This is not a good way. So the mother and father, and likewise the children with their mother and father, and also the children amongst themselves, they must learn to cooperate upon piety and righteousness. They must learn to advise one another for the sake of Allah, and to direct one another for the sake of Allah, and to remind one another for the sake of Allah. For example, if one of the children sees their brother or sister doing something that's not pleasing to Allah, they will not wait for their mother or father to find out about that. Rather, they will advise them. Whether they would advise them, they will direct them, they will remind them, they will admonish them in the life like this, in a good manner, in a good manner, regardless if they're younger or older. Regardless if they're younger or older, no one is too old to be advised or to be admonished, to be directed. But the person must learn how to do that with nobility and good manners. And that begins with having a good intention, hoping that they accept the advice and they benefit. And if they persist and do not take the advice, then they should not be scared to inform the parents, to inform the parents. And this is from the good ways. And this is from the good ways, so that evil can be dealt with. Either if there are obligations that are being neglected, or if there are prohibitions that are being violated, if the sibling does not take the advice, then the parents, they must be informed. And this is from cooperating upon piety and righteousness. This is from cooperating upon piety and righteousness. And this is a good way. And this is from the avenues of ordering the good and forbidding the evil. And this is from the best traits of a believer. This is from the best traits of a believer, that they cooperate together upon piety and righteousness, and that they command and enjoin they enjoin the good and order that which is pleasing to Allah, and they forbid the evil and prohibit that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person, he is overcome by his desires or misled by the whispers of the devils or the trends of the disbelievers in society, he could confuse this affair, and he will call the truth with names of falsehood. And this is the way of the devil, to turn the people away from the truth. So instead of considering ordering the good and forbidding the evil to be ordering the good and forbidding the evil, they'll call it snitching and tattletelling and the likes like this. But in reality, it is al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahi an al-munkar. In reality, it is ordering the good and forbidding the evil. It's from the devils. They're the ones who call it snitching, or they call it telling, or tattletelling, and the likes like this. Why did you tell on me? Why did you tell on me? This is our secret, so on and so forth. That's not the way of a believer. That's the way of the devils. And the devil, he's the one who's decorating this affair. So Allah, He loves for the believers to order one another in a good manner and with goodness, and to enjoin righteousness and piety and upon each other in a good manner. And He loves that the believers, they forbid each other likewise, and an admonishment and advising them to stay away from evils and to leave off that which is forbidden. So this must be established in the household. This must be established in the household, first and foremost, between the husband and the wife. They will not let sins prevail in their homes, not from themselves nor from their children. The sins of the heart, or the sins of the tongue, or any other sins likewise. Any other sins likewise. If something is happening and somebody outside of the home, a friend or another family member, or another person is brought up and the situation becomes loose, the father or the mother, or even some of the children, they will stop that immediately before backbiting occurs. Because backbiting is one of the major sins. And a person, he does not want his house to be a house full of backbiting, where other people are being mentioned all the time and being belittled or put down, or their faults are being spread and talked about, and the house becomes like a soap opera about community members and other people in the society and in the masjid and the likes like this. This is not concerning a believer. This is something that does not concern a believer nor the household. So a believer, the mother and father, first and foremost, they must cut that off at the head. So that's not a part of the family. That's not a part of their manners. They do not sit around together backbiting the people and talking about the ills of others, so on and so forth. And they do not let their children do that likewise. This is just an example. This is just an example. And again, if the children are doing something like this, then if they're not advised, or if they do not take the advice, then the parents, they should be informed. And this is from the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah. This is from the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah. Sometimes those who are afraid that they're going to be exposed because of their evils, they will threaten their siblings. If you do this, I will never talk to you. If you do this, if you tell mom or dad, I will never talk to you, or I'll never do this, or I'll never do that. These are things that they just say. These are things that they just say. And bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, by informing the parents of the ills that their siblings are doing, this is in their best interest, if they only knew. And if they're truthful, they will be thankful whenever they grow up that evil was ceased, that evil was dealt with, and that they were exposed and not able to continue upon that way until it was exposed outside of the home. Because if the evil persists and continues, then it will reach outside of the home. And then the whole family will be exposed for these ills and these evils. So to cut that off inside the house amongst each other, this is the good way. There's a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned that the people, with regards to ordering the good and forbidding the evil, and how they will be safe or they will all be destroyed, like people riding in a ship. People are together riding all in a ship. And if all of them cooperate together, then they will be safe. They'll make it to their destination. But if they do not cooperate together, then they're all in danger. So in the narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that the ship has two levels. The ship has two levels, a bottom level and the top level. And every time the people on the bottom level, they get thirsty, they have to call to the people on the top level to bring them water, to bring them water. So one of them had an idea, and they said, you know what, if we just make a small hole down here, we can get the water by ourselves, and we will not have to ask the people on the second level to bring us water anymore. We can take care of it by ourselves. We can just make a small hole, and then it will be easier for us, and we won't have to depend on them anymore to get the water. So if the people on the second level, they left them to their plan and to do what they do, they will all be destroyed. But if they go down there and they take them by the hand and forbid them from that, then they will all be saved. So this is the example of commanding the good and forbidding the evil. So if the evil is addressed in the home, then the family, they'll be happy and they'll be saved. But if it's left unattended, then eventually that hole is going to get bigger and bigger, and then the water will come in, and it will not be a good outcome. It will not be a good outcome. So this is the example of this affair. Cooperating upon piety and righteousness, this is the way of a believer, and this is the way for a happy family. This is a way for a happy family. You should not listen to those who are misled by the norms of the society about snitching and so on and so forth. Rather, this is from the good deeds that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. That are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. From the greatest traits of a believer that is sincere is that he orders the good and forbids the evil, and he's not worried what the people say about him with regards to that. So we continue reading. The author, he says, حفظه الله وإن من أسباب السعادة في الأسرة أن يكون الرجل ملتزما بمنهج الصالحين في معاملة أسرته فيكون محمود السيرة طيب السريرة سهلا رفيقا بزوجته وأولاده رحيما بهم والرفق ما كان في شيء إلا زانه وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. So he mentioned حفظه الله, and among the means of happiness in the family is that a man adheres to the way of the righteous in dealing with his household. that he holds fast to the way of the righteous and pious in dealing with his household, and that he has a praiseworthy character, and he is good-hearted and gentle and kind with his wife and children, merciful towards them. Gentleness, he says, whenever it is present in something, it beautifies it, and whenever it is removed from something, it disgraces it, and he makes it ugly. And this is a reference to a narration which is authentic on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anytime you use gentleness and calmness and deliberation in an affair, it makes the affair beautiful and better. But if you do not use that, rather you're hasty and you're harsh and you're rude, then this makes the situation worse and not good. So he says, لا يكلفهم شططا ويوطن نفسه على قبول المنغصات منهم إذا رأى من امرأته شيئا يكرهه ذكر نفسه بمحاسنها وإذا رأى زلة من ولده ذكر نفسه بما في ولده من خير فلا يشقى في أسرته ولا يشقي أسرته يعلم أن المرأة ضعيفة وأنه أخذها بأمانة الله فلا يظلمها أبدا. He does not burden them with the hardship. He does not burden them with hardship, meaning with doing things that they're not capable of doing, things that are too heavy for them to burden, either physically or emotionally. Either physically or emotionally. Sometimes maybe some of the family members, they're physically strong enough to do certain tasks, but they're not emotionally strong enough. Their minds are not able to handle the likes of those responsibilities. They have not reached that level of maturity yet where they're able or capable of establishing these affairs easily. So one, he would not burden them with things that are greater than that which they can bear. And he will help them in an easy and good manner. Any from the worldly affairs and from the affairs of the religion. From the worldly affairs and from the affairs of the religion. He does not burden them with hardship. And he trains his own soul to be accepting of their occasional shortcomings. And a person has to accustom himself to realize that no one is perfect. And everyone has shortcomings. And the one that one will see the shortcomings the most is from his family, because he's with them constantly. Likewise, he should remember as well he has similar shortcomings, or even some of them that may be worse or more severe himself. So he says if he sees something he dislikes in his wife, he reminds himself of other good qualities. And he's mentioning here, this is the way of the righteous. This is from the ways of the righteous in dealing with one's family. And the sheikh, he referred to a narration previously, and that indicates this meaning here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا. لَا يَفْرَقُ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنًا. That a believing man, he will never despise a believing woman. And he will never hate his wife in entirety. He will never hate her and despise her in a manner where he cannot stand her whatsoever. إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرَ. إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرَ. That if he finds some manners or character traits he dislikes within her, then there are indeed others that are pleasing. So he says if he sees something he dislikes in his wife, he reminds himself of her other good qualities, And this here will ease the situation and make it better and help him to control himself and not lose his temper. And if he sees a fault in his child, he reminds himself of the goodness in that child likewise. And maybe the child has some shortcomings or some weaknesses in the likes like this, but also the child, he knows himself that he has lots of other good traits. So he'll remember those affairs. And this will help him to be just and also to choose a moderate path in educating or correcting the child and helping him alleviate those shortcomings and problems. He says, thus, he never makes himself miserable in his family. And by dwelling on their shortcomings. If a person was to dwell on the shortcomings of his family, he's going to just be drowned in sorrow and be like, he can't take it anymore. These people are losers. I'm surrounded by losers. They can't do anything right. Nothing is going right. Like this, if he dwells in this manner like this, he's never going to be happy. It's going to bother his heart and become heavy. So by not doing that and looking to the greater picture and being optimistic and seeing the other many great qualities that they have of goodness, then this will make that hardship in the heart go away. And make it easy for him to face these challenges and deal with his family. So he will not be miserable, nor will he make his family miserable. Because if he's always looking at it like this, and he takes them into account for every last thing, and they can never do anything right, and he identifies that and emphasizes that every single time, and takes them to account for every single step that they make, and he doesn't let anything go and nothing slide, then he himself is going to tire himself out in this manner, and they're going to be tired of him likewise. And they're going to be tired of him likewise. So he's going to himself be miserable, and he's going to make the others miserable. Instead of the household waiting for the father to come home, whenever they come home, this is whenever they are scared and tense. And now they're walking on glass, afraid that their father is going to flip on them, and the likes like this. And the likes like this. So a person who does not want to be like that, this is not from happiness nor from joy in the home. So he says, again, if he sees a fault, if he sees something he dislikes in his wife, he reminds himself of her good qualities. And if he sees a fault in his child, he reminds himself of the goodness in that child. Thus, he neither makes himself miserable in his family, nor does he make his family miserable. He understands that a woman is naturally delicate, and she's weak. She's naturally delicate, and that he took her under the trust of Allah. So he'll never do her wrong. So he will never do her wrong. A believing man, he will never harm a believing woman. You'll never harm a believer in general, especially not a believing woman, especially not the one whom is under his authority and care in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, meaning his wife. So he says, يَسْتُرُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ وَلَا يَنْشُرُ أَسْرَارَهَا يَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْزِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الرَّجُلُ يُفْضِي إِلَى امْرَأَتِهِ وَتُفْضِي إِلَيْهِ ثم ينشر سرها هذا من شر الناس منزلة يوم القيامة. So the Shaykh says he covers his wife's faults and he does not expose her secrets. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed among the worst of people in the sight of Allah on the day of judgment is a man who has relations with his wife and she with him, and then he spreads her secrets. This is one of the worst types of people and status before Allah on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, he says, "Arajulu aladhi yasiru ala manhaj al-salihin, yulahiku ahlahu wa yula'ibuhum, yulahiku ahlahu wa yula'ibuhum iktida'an bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yur'ahum, li'annahu ra'in, la yadribu imra'atahu darban shadidan, la yadribu imra'atahu darban muntaqim, wa innama in darabaha darba mu'addibin. تشعر معه أنه يعذبها أما إذا ضربها ضرب انتقام فضربها ضربا وجلدها جلدا تخرج السعادة من البيت. A man who follows the path of the righteous laughs with his family and he plays with them, emulating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in reference to the previous class and the narrations that we had read in the life of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He cares for them because he is their shepherd. He is their guardian. He does not strike his wife harshly, nor does he beat her out of revenge. Rather, if he ever disciplines her, he does so in a form of correction, in a manner that makes her feel he is trying to improve her character, not to humiliate her. But if he strikes her out of anger and revenge, hitting her violently and harshly, then happiness will leave the household immediately. And this is in reference to physical strikes, no doubt about that. This is not from the good way. But likewise, sometimes the tongue, it strikes as well. And these can be very dangerous. So a person, he also has to be cautious with his tongue and the way that he speaks and the tones that he uses. And this doesn't mean that a person never will raise the voice, but that will not be the origin. The origin is that he will be kind. The origin is that he will be gentle. The origin is that he will be patient. The origin is that he will be forbearing. But a person who is always patient and always forbearing and always gentle, if he finds that the family members are taking advantage of his kindness, then he will have to be a little bit stern and let them understand that this is not allowed and that we're not going to take that. So if a person who's normally calm and normally keeps his composure and normally speaks in a low tone or the likes like this, this is what's known from him. If he raises his voice, they know that it's serious. If he raises his voice, they know that it's serious because this is something that doesn't happen often. So they'll realize, oh, Abby's mad. But if he's somebody who he's always He always raising his voice. He never controls his temper, always letting loose. Then it's normal for them. So they'd be like, oh, he's mad again. And so it's not going to have any effect. But somebody who normally keeps his composure, if he also sometimes maybe he gets mad, maybe he to emphasize that this is not allowed, whenever that harshness comes, it will be in its proper place. And it will be received in the manner that will be like discipline, like he's saying. This is what is intended from that, that it will be discipline. That will be discipline. So if somebody's always screaming and always yelling, then it's just normal. He's always screaming and always yelling in the first place. Or she likewise. But somebody who keeps their composure, whenever they need to be firm, and that firmness comes out, it will be seen. And it will be recognized. And inshallah, this will put some reverence and fear in their hearts, and they'll realize, okay, he's not playing with this issue. This one is very serious. So it will calm down quickly. It will calm down quickly. In any case, a person, he will not be a pushover. And being kind and forgiving does not mean that you'll be a pushover, that you will let people take advantage of you. This is not what is intended. This is not what is intended. But to discipline the people, yani, sometimes you have to be direct and you have to be firm. But the means of success with regards to this is to be sincere and truthful with Allah, and then to have knowledge and put everything in its proper place. Because if we put mercy and kindness in a place that requires sternness and firmness, then things are going to get loose and things are going to get out of hand. And if we put firmness and sternness and harshness in a place where gentleness and kindness is required, then things are going to get out of hand. Things are going to get out of hand. Some people, they try to force things, and they're very harsh and very rude and forceful, and then they wind up forcing that thing until it goes away. And people who are not firm enough, then it's going to get loose. So you have to put the proper amount of pressure in the proper time, in the right way, and to be truthful with Allah, and hoping to cultivate and discipline your family, and ask Allah to help you raise your children. To guide you to raise your children, to discipline them in a manner that's pleasing, to raise them upon a tarbiyah, islamiyah, as-sahiha, al-mardiyah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to supplicate and desire these things, that Allah, He will help you raise your family in a manner that's pleasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and help you cultivate your children upon a way that is acceptable with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something to desire and to hope for. So again, the origin is that a man, especially likewise a woman, they will be gentle, they will be kind. But there are certain times whenever people of authority, they have to be firm and they have to be serious and they have to cut things off before they get loose. They have to keep control over the affairs. So the Shaykh, he says, الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي يَسِيرُ عَلَى مَنْهَجِ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي بَيْتِهِ يُعْطِي الْمَرْأَةَ حَقَّهَا الَّذِي جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ لَهَا وَلَا يَشْتِمُهَا وَلَا يُقَبِّحُهَا وَلَا يُقَبِّحُ أَهْلَهَا وَلَا يَلْأَنُ أَهْلَهَا. لِمَاذَا؟ لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ قِيلَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا حَقُّ زَوْجَةِ أَحَدِنَا عَلَيْنَا؟ قَالَ أَنْ تُطْعِمَهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ وَتَكْسُوَهَا إِذَا اكْتَسَيْتَ ولا تضرب الوجه ولا تقبح ولا تهجر إلا في البيت. He said, a man who follows the way of the righteous in his home gives his wife the rights that Allah has ordained for her. He does that for the sake of Allah. He does not insult her. He does not belittle her. He does not insult her family. He does not curse them. Why do you think the Sheikh is saying this? Because it happens, Ahsan. Because there are people who curse their wives and who curse their wives and insult them, and even they don't stop there. They curse and insult the family members of the wife likewise, and if they go even beyond, they'll curse the wife and call her names, and then they'll start to curse her family and call them names likewise. Waliyadh billah. So the one who follows the way of the righteous, he does not do this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-mu'min." بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش البذيء ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش البذيء. That a believer, he's not somebody who's always finding fault with others and talking bad about them, nor is he someone who's always cursing the people and calling them names, and he does not have a lowly tongue or foul and lewd manners. That's not a believer. It's not a believer. Any a true believer. If these affairs occur, from a Muslim, it's because of a weakness in their faith. Because of a weakness in their faith. Because al-mu'min, ليس المؤمن. يعني the true believer, he's not like that. ليس بالطعان يطعن في الناس وفي أعراضهم وليس باللعان يلعن الناس لعنتهم ولا الفاحش البذيء. And he's also not فاحش البذيء. So he says here, why? What does he not curse her, talk bad about her, nor her family? He said, because he knows that it was said to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the right of a wife upon one of us? And he replied, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you feed her when you eat, and you clothe her when you clothe yourself, and you do not strike the face, and you do not say repulsive words to her. You do not abandon her except within the house. You do not abandon her, and you avoid her, and the likes except in the home. He says, لا يحاسب امرأته على كل شيء. He does not hold his wife accountable for every single matter. For every single matter. This is very important. Some things they just have to blow over. Some things you have to just let them go. And not from the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from violating the commandments or prohibitions, but from personal affairs, personal things that you may dislike or that she has done towards you. You just let those things go. And the likes like this, sometimes, it's been narrated from Al-Amish, rahimahullah, he said, التغافل يطفئ شرا كثيرا. التغافل يطفئ شرا كثيرا. That overlooking affairs, it puts out much evil. It puts out the flames of much, much evil, overlooking the affairs. To not be negligent or heedless, but to sometimes just overlook things and let them go by. And that doesn't mean to neglect them entirely, but maybe at that moment, especially when the situation or circumstances are hot, you let it go. And then if it's something that serious and it needs to be addressed, you wait till the situation calms down or another time later and the likes like this, and you bring it up and you address it in a good manner. Even some things, you just say to yourself, I'm not going to say anything to her for the sake of Allah. She did that and she didn't do this, and it's something that is not right and you're right. Well, I'm going to let it go for the sake of Allah and not even want to take her up on that. I'm not going to say it to nobody. And you say that, I'm going to leave it and forgive her and pardon her for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And you let it go. And you let it go. She didn't do something you asked her to do. Or she did something you asked her to not do. Any from the reasonable things. From the reasonable things. And the likes like this, and she did that or didn't do that. And or she said something to you. You didn't like the way that she spoke to you. But you realized, maybe she had a bad day or stressful. Or she's tired or the likes like this. And you make an excuse for her. And then you pardon her and forgive her. And you don't take her to account for that. And you let it go. And you let it go. But if it becomes a problem or something that's reoccurring, then it has to be addressed. It has to be addressed. But even then, it will be in a good manner. In a good manner. The point is, as he says, لا يحاسب امرأته على كل شيء. It does not take her to account for every last thing. Again, because if a person takes another to account for every mistake that they have and every shortcoming and fault that they have, then he's going to be tired, because the people, they're full of shortcomings and faults. And this is the case. They just... we can't help it, except sometimes they make mistakes. Some they do that more than others. So if a person looks at everybody and picks out every last detailed error, mistake, or shortcoming or fault, and holds them to account for that, he's going to wear himself out, because he's going to be busy. And then likewise, he's going to tire the people out, and they're going to be tired of dealing with him. Tired of dealing with him. So it's no good in the first place. It says, لِأَنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ اسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَاءِ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ ذِرَعٍ وَإِنَّ أَعْوَجَ شَيْءٍ فِي الْضِرَعِ أَعْلَاهُ فَإِنْ ذَهَبْتَ تُقِيمُهُ كَسَرْتَهُ وَإِنْ تَرَكْتَهُ لَمْ يَزِلْ أَعْوَجَ فَاسْتَوْسُوا بِالنِّسَى خَيْرًا. He does not hold his wife accountable for every single matter, for every single last thing, because he understands that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, treat women kindly, for indeed the woman was created from the rib. And the most crooked part of the rib is the upper part at the top. If you try to straighten it, you'll break it. And if you leave it, it will remain crooked. So treat women kindly. So treat the women kindly. Allah, He created Adam from dirt, which is well known. And from him, He created his wife, Eve, Hawa. It's mentioned that she was created from the rib. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's referring to this. And he mentioned likewise that the most crooked part of the rib is at the top. So if the woman's created from the rib and the most crooked part is at the top, what's at the top? Huh? The tongue. What's at the top of the woman? Huh? The tongue, right? So this is the indication. The woman she's created from the rib, and the most crooked part of the rib is the top part. It's the top part. So if you try to straighten it out, you're gonna break it. If you try to straighten it out, you're gonna break it. I mean, if you take her to account for every last thing, you're gonna break it. What does that mean? Divorce is going to happen. There's going to be separation. You're not going to be able to live together. You're not going to be able, you're going to break it. Breaking it means divorce. You understand that? So if you take into account for every single last thing that she says and does, and you're not forbearing or having any patience, you don't make any effort to cultivate and to teach, and you yourself are lost, following your desires, then it's not going to be happiness. It's not going to be happiness. So happiness lies in iman and sincere faith, first and foremost, and righteous and good deeds, as we have seen. And then cooperating with your loved one, with your family upon that way. So this is the case. Treat the woman kindly, for indeed the woman was created from a rib, and the most crooked part of the rib is the upper part. If you straighten it, you'll break it. And if you leave it, it will remain crooked. It will remain crooked. And so treat the women kindly. Another word is likewise. And if you leave it, crooked, then it stays crooked, and you still take that you still enjoy yourself, although it's crooked. You could still enjoy yourself, along with the fact that maybe sometimes she says something that displeases you. You not let this part right here ruin it for you. You understand? Ruin it for you by not having patience and not realizing this affair. So it says, إِذَا تَلْزِمَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهَجَ الصَّالِحِينَ فِي أُسْرَتِهِ تَحَقَّقَتِ السَّعَادَةُ فِي بَيْتِهِ فَحَصَلَ الْخَيْرُ الْكَثِيرُ لِهَذِهِ الْأُسْرَةِ كذلك الزوجة تسير في أسرتها على منهج الصالحات على منهج الصالحات تعظم حق زوجها وتعظم حق أسرتها لأنها تعلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عظم حق الزوج عليها عظم حق الزوج عليها. If a man adheres to the path of the righteous in his family, happiness will be established in his home, and much good will result for that family. Likewise, the wife, when she follows the way of the righteous women in her home, honors the right of her husband and honors the right of her family, because she knows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam greatly emphasized the right of the husband upon his wife. The Shaykh, he mentioned, حفظه وهذا باب عظيم أفردت له محاضرة سجلت عنوانها حقوق الزوجين ذكرت فيها ما ثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حقوق الزوجين. So he says now, in closing, and this is a great topic for which a dedicated lecture has been recorded under the title, The Rights of the Spouses. And the Sheikh is referring now to a lecture that he had given on this subject with this title, Hukuku al-Zawjain, The Rights of the Spouses. He says, in it I mentioned what has been authentically reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the mutual rights between husband and wife, between husband and wife. ولا شك أنه لو عمل بالحقوق التي دلت عليها السنة لكان في ذلك سبب عظيم من أسباب سعادة الأسر. And there is no doubt that if both spouses adhere to the rights laid out in the Sunnah, it would be one of the greatest reasons for family happiness. For family happiness. And he says, ولا أحب أن أطيل عليكم هذه بعض الأسباب في سعادة الأسر. اقتطفتها من كتاب ربنا ومن سنة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم رجاء أن نعمل بها ونعلمها وننشرها لتستقر الأسر وتسعد وتطرد الشياطين من بيوتنا. He says, and I do not wish to take much of your time, and these are some of the means of family happiness which I have selected from the book of our Lord and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hope that we will act upon them, teach them and spread them, so that our families may be stable and happy, and that we may expel the devils from our homes. وَنَطْوُدَ الشَّيَاطِينَ مِن بُيُوتِنَا. And that we may expel the devils from our homes. He says, وَلَعَلِّي أَخْتِمُ بِوَصِيَّةٍ. And let me conclude now with an important piece of advice. وَهِيَ أَنُّ بِعِيدَ مَا يُغْضِبُ اللَّهَ فِي بُيُوتِنَا. والله إن من أعظم أسباب الشقاء أن نجعل في بيوتنا ما يغضب الله. He said, let me conclude with an important piece of advice. We must remove from our homes whatever angers Allah. We must remove from our homes everything that angers Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, by Allah, and I swear by Allah, one of the most significant means of misery, one of the most significant causes of misery, is allowing into our homes things that displease Allah Azza wa Jalla. That displease Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, وَلَوْ ظَنَّ النَّاسُ أَنَّهُ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ السَّعَادَةِ. Even if the people believe or they think that these things will bring about happiness. فَعَلَيْنَا إِخْوَتِي فِي اللَّهِ أَنْ نَنْظُرَ فِي بُيُوتِنَا فِنْ وَجَدْنَا فِيهَا مَا يُغْضِبُ اللَّهِ فَلْنُخْرِجْهُ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَذَلِكَ يُحَقِّقُ لَنَا السَّعَادَةَ فَاللَّهَ اللَّهَ أَيُّ الْإِخْوَةِ فِي هَذَا الْأَمْرُ الْعَظِيمُ. He said, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ, so we must, my dear brothers in faith, look into our homes, and if we find anything that displeases Allah, let us remove it from our houses. Let us remove it from our houses, for in doing so, we will attain true happiness. So fear Allah, O brothers, in this great matter, and this great matter. And this was the last of that which was mentioned in this treatise. But this closing advice is of utmost importance, to be truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to look into the home, and to remove anything in the house that one knows is forbidden and not pleasing to Allah, from the music and the images or the pictures and the likes like this of living beings, so on and so forth, whether they're hanging on the wall or statues and the likes, or even some of the toys that the children they play with that are forbidden, images that are forbidden, or characters that have roles or personalities that could be considered shirk or disbelief or magic and the likes like this. All of this is forbidden and not allowed. And the fastest ways to misery and to anxiety and to problems and worry is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the fastest way to happiness, to joy, and to peace, and to be worry-free is to be sincere and truthful, and to worship Allah alone upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to strive to be obedient in public and in private, in public and in private. So this is something that's of utmost importance, to cultivate ourselves, first and foremost, upon seeking the pleasure of Allah, and learning that which is beloved to Allah, and searching after that, and establishing that, and learning that which is displeasing to Allah, and avoiding that, and staying away from that, and leaving that for the sake of Allah. And whoever leaves something for the sake of Allah, then Allah will provide him something better than that in exchange. Then Allah will provide for him something better than that in exchange. And إِمَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ, whoever leaves something sincerely for the sake of Allah, عَوَضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ, Allah will give him better than that in exchange. Allah will give him better than that in exchange. So if we learn something from our religion, from our deen, from the Quran, or from the Sunnah, or the way of the Sahaba, and we find out that our ways are contrary to their ways, that our ways, something that we're doing, something that we like, something that we do in our homes, something that we have in our life, is contrary to that which is pleasing to Allah, then we should just man up for the sake of Allah and leave it. And just do it for the sake of Allah. You be sincere. This right here is forbidden. We're getting it out of the home. This right here is haram. We're getting it out of the home. This right here is not allowed. We're getting it out of the home. This right here, Allah is not pleased with that. They're getting it out of the home. But the people of Nod, as they mentioned from them, I've heard it a number of times from Shaykhuna, Shaykh Sulaiman al-Rahili, the author of this treatise that we're reading, that because in these days, the haram is overwhelming. And meaning that the things that are forbidden are widespread, even accepted in many societies, even in Muslim societies. There are things that are forbidden that just become accepted, that people do them normally. And they're not pleasing to Allah. So what do you think about in the likes of these lands, the likes of the lands of disbelief, and the likes like this? So the options to do things that are forbidden are many. So a father or a guardian has to compensate. So if your child is looking for a particular game, for example, or some clothing, for example, and it's not allowed, and it's clearly forbidden, then you have to first teach them that this game here is not pleasing to Allah, or this shirt here, or these clothes here, these pants here, these are not pleasing to Allah. Allah is not pleased with those who wear the likes of these clothes or play the likes of these games. And then you find a replacement that's lawful for him. And you say, but this one here is lawful. This one is pleasing to Allah. This one is allowed. This one is permissible. Take one, two, three. You compensate. You give him more. You give him more of the permissible, more of that which is lawful, especially if he's having trouble leaving that thing for the sake of Allah. So to help him leave that is to compensate him. Give him one, two, or three. More other options that are lawful, Let him pick from them, even more than he needs, just to get over this particular situation, to get his heart detached from that which is forbidden, and to attach his heart to seeking the love of Allah and his pleasure. Like this, so you facilitate and you make it easy. So sometimes you have to compensate. Sometimes you have to compensate any in this regards. So again, to cleanse the house, to clean any of the house of anything that is forbidden from the toys or from the games, or from the items in the home, or the clothing, or the antiques, or whatever the case may be, or the pictures, or the websites that people go to, or the freedom that some have on devices, so on and so forth. These things, they should be handled in a good way, with sincere faith in the family. They should cooperate together upon that way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of our families happy families, families of sincere faith and iman, families of at-tawheed and the sunnah, and to make us men, brothers, role models in our homes, and leaders upon piety and righteousness for our family and for our children, and to rectify our affairs and the affairs of our wives and our children, and to make us from those who listen to the speech and benefit from that, and to make the knowledge a proof for us and not against us. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll return to our classes about the rights of pilgrimage, reading from the treaties of our Shaykh Abdul Mahsin, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.